this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
This teaching on judgment, I think, has been misunderstood and misapplied by many, many people. So the question is, you know, what does Jesus mean by this? Are we not to ever judge under any circumstance? Well, we're going to see in just a second that that is not what he means, because he's going to encourage judgment or discrimination.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Sermon on the Mount. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, in a message titled, The Ethic of the Kingdom of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Here we are, coming once again to our study in what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. We've spoken about this many times before. We want just, you know, to make sure everybody understands the context of what we're doing, making our way through Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. That is the section of Scripture that is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And almost each time we have taught, we have also wanted to remind everyone of, you know, what is the essence of the teaching here. And what we have said in a variety of different ways is that these teachings are a description of what life looks like in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was inaugurated by Jesus at his first coming, and it will come in its fullness universally at his second coming. So we've talked about how we're already in the kingdom and how the kingdom is, it's now but not yet fully realized. So what the Sermon on the Mount has been is instruction for those who are the citizens of the kingdom. So the verses that we just read are actually the conclusion of the instructional aspect of the sermon. So today, when we finish up, we will have finished the sermon in the sense of it being instruction for us as citizens of the kingdom. When we go on, we're going to be looking at exhortations and warnings that Jesus is giving, and then a real call to a final call to the application of the sermon itself. So today we are going to look at three things that Jesus addresses here. Now, the three things that Jesus addresses here in the verses that we read are, number one, the subject of judgment or judging others. And we're going to look at this as righteous judgment. That's verses 1 through 6. In verses 7 through 11, Jesus then brings us back around to the subject of prayer, which he has already taught on, but he's going to circle back around to it, and he's going to encourage us to have confidence and also perseverance in prayer. And then in verse 12 is the final verse of the instructional aspect of the sermon. And it's there we have the kingdom ethic summarized, or you could say the Jesus ethic summarized. So that is what our journey looks like here today. So let's jump in and look at verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So this teaching on judgment, I think, has been misunderstood and misapplied by many, many people. So the question is, you know, what does Jesus mean by this? Are we not to ever judge under any circumstance? Well, we're going to see in just a second that that is not what he means, because in the very context itself, he's going to encourage judgment or discrimination, the necessity of being able to distinguish between right and wrong. That is a judgment. But the misunderstanding and the misapplication is often seen in a scenario like this. Let's say there's somebody who, as a believer, but it doesn't even have to be a believer, but you know, somebody who's behaving badly, living sinfully, and someone comes along and calls them out on that. And oftentimes their response is, hey, don't judge me, man. Because after all, Jesus said, do not judge. And so a person who's doing that, and maybe, you know, we've even done it ourselves, a person who's doing that is a person who actually misunderstands and is misapplying what Jesus said here. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. And like I said, that can't be what he's talking about, because he goes on and he tells us that there are places for judgment. So in verses 3-5, Jesus tells us that we can judge others if we've judged ourselves first. In verse 6, Jesus refers to some people's behavior as being like dogs or pigs, and says that we are to be able to identify such. And then down in verse 15, which we won't get to today, but Jesus refers to certain prophets as false prophets, calling us to make a judgment call between true and false prophets. So since the Lord is not forbidding us from passing judgment altogether, the question then is, what is he forbidding? And the answer is going to come to us as we take a fuller look at what the scriptures have to say about this subject. Now, sometimes if we have a difficulty in understanding a passage, the first thing we do is we look at what preceded it and what follows it. Okay, that's called looking at it in the context, right? We need to be careful to not just take a single verse and pull it out and interpret it apart from its context. And generally speaking, sometimes there are singular verses that you can do that with. And generally speaking, if you just look at the immediate before and after, you can get it. But there are other times when we won't understand something until we look at it even more broadly in the context of a larger portion of Scripture. And so when we look at the subject of judgment and try to understand what is it that Jesus means, we need to look at a larger portion of Scripture, remembering that Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture, but rather Scripture clarifies Scripture. Now, just remember that. Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture. Why do I say remember that? Because you're going to meet all kinds of people that are going to tell you, if they haven't already, if you haven't met them already, they're going to tell you, oh, you can't trust the Bible. The Bible is full of contradictions. I cannot tell you how many people have said that to me personally over the years. And I can tell you that I have, on occasion, when somebody has said that to me, I have just done the simple act of challenging them by handing them a Bible and say, could you show me a contradiction? I have yet to have a single person show me a contradiction. Usually what happens is people say, oh, I don't want to do that. It's just, you know, it's just full of contradictions. I know it is. Well, how do you know it is if you've never really, no, it's okay. I don't, no, we don't need to, you know, they come off with this big, bold, Bible's full of contradictions. And then when asked to show even one contradiction, they're at a loss to do it, because Scripture doesn't contradict itself. Scripture clarifies Scripture. And that's what we're going to see here. So we're going to look at 5 forbidden judgments. And we're going to do this quickly. We won't go into a ton of detail. But these are the judgments. When Jesus says, do not judge, these are the things that he's talking about. Number one, he is forbidding us to judge beyond God's requirements. You know, so often when people are judging other people, and especially Christians, they're judging them in regard to things that God isn't even judging people on. They're judging beyond God's requirements. God did not say this or that. He didn't say, don't listen to that style of music, or don't wear those kinds of clothes, or, you know, things like that, that are so often the petty things that we judge one another for. So in the letter to the Colossians written by Paul, he says this. He says, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. So in the Colossian church, there were Christians that were judging other Christians because they weren't eating the right things or drinking the right things, or they weren't attending the right festivals and so forth. These are things that were connected to the Jewish law that no longer had any bearing on the Christians, but some Christians were judging other Christians in relation to them. So what they were doing in essence is they were judging beyond God's requirement. So we don't want to do that. And we have to remember that every believer is the servant of the Lord. And Paul, in writing to the church in Rome, he asked this question to the Christians who were judging each other about these kinds of things. Some ate meat, some didn't eat meat, some drank wine, some didn't drink wine. And they were judging, they were divided. And Paul asked this question. He said, who are you to judge another person's servant? To their own master they stand or fall. So, Jesus is talking about that. Secondly, it's forbidden to judge according to outward appearance. Oh, how often do we make a judgment based on outward appearance? The problem with outward appearance is we don't really know all the details. We don't really know what's going on. We might assume something is happening. So recently, there's a celebrity woman who music, tattoos, and things like that. Maybe you have heard of her. So she's recently become a Christian. And she was sharing her story about, you know, coming to faith. And a bunch of Christians were all upset that she hasn't changed her dress style, or that she was wearing her makeup the way she was wearing her makeup, or, you know, all of these external things, they end up, oh, I don't know if she's really a Christian. I don't think she could really be a Christian, because after all, if she was really a Christian, she would be. So what are they doing? They're judging according to outward appearance. Jesus said not to do that. He said in John 7:24, he said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. The interesting thing is this statement from Jesus was directed to people who were judging him because he didn't look like what they thought the Messiah should look like. So he says to them, don't judge. You're judging according to outward appearance. Judge righteously. Thirdly, we're not to judge self-righteously. Jesus told this story. It's recorded in Luke 18. He said, it was an illustration. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now, just imagine the audacity of something like this. I mean, just think if we just paused, I said, hey, let's just pause for a moment. Let's stand together and let's just pray for a moment. I mean, think of the audacity of somebody who would say, Lord, I just thank you that I'm not like the person next to me in this row. Because obviously I can see by looking at them what they really are. But you know that I'm not like that. I mean, that when you think of it like that, how insane is that? But this happened. Jesus is telling the story of something that undoubtedly really happened. So judging self-righteously, putting ourselves above others. Fourthly, we're not to judge mercilessly. James chapter 2, verse 13 says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. And then, fifthly, we are not to judge finally. To judge finally, meaning we're not to pass the final verdict on someone. So we're not to conclude that a living person is beyond the grace of God. That would be a forbidden judgment, to look at somebody and to say that person, because of who they are or what they've done or whatever the case might be, that person is beyond salvation. That person is condemned. We're not to do that because we don't know that. That's not our call to make. That's God's call to make. Now, wrongly judging one another among Christians is epidemic in the church today. I mean, it's unbelievable how out of control this is in the church today. Now, I don't know if it's been in people's hearts for decades and decades and decades, and it just didn't have the opportunity to come out. And now, because of social media, we get to kind of see what's inside of everybody. I don't know what the reason behind it is, but it is a fact that it's like an epidemic today in the Christian church that Christians feel an absolute freedom and a justification in judging their brothers and sisters. It's almost like it's just part of what we're supposed to do. That's how frequently people engage in it. And it always comes down to an appearance kind of a judgment without really knowing the details. So a few years ago, the hip-hop artist Lecrae, who is a musician, he's an artist, right? So he was invited, this was in Georgia, he lived in Georgia, so he was invited to this bipartisan event, bipartisan meaning politically bipartisan, this event where, you know, different people, Democrats, Republicans, they were going to speak or whatever. There was music, different things. So he was invited to go there along with others and to share some of his music. Well, he did that. And, you know, he would say afterwards, I didn't even know exactly what it was that I was doing, but I agreed to go do it. Well, I remember a Christian, a person who I know, went on YouTube and just went on the biggest rant that you could imagine about how horrible Lecrae was and how dare he do that and what a betrayal to the cause of Christ and all of this just absolutely over the top crazy stuff. And I thought to myself, how did this person come to the place of thinking that this is okay? That this is something that Jesus would commend or approve or encourage. It's completely out of control. Some of you have heard me and those of us who teach on Sundays quote rather frequently Timothy Keller. Timothy Keller is one of the greatest gifts to the church of the early 21st century. Tim passed away of pancreatic cancer, tragically. And the thing that was completely insane to me was to see Christians online rejoicing that Tim had died, not rejoicing that Tim had died had gone to heaven, but rejoicing that he died because God struck him down because he held particular views that they didn't like. I actually had direct connection with somebody who said, it's good that he died because he believed in an old earth rather than a young earth. Wow. So if you're a Christian and you believe in an old earth, watch out. You might get struck dead because that's one of the things God kills people for. And that's what this person was insinuating. That's insanity. Oh, I'm glad he's out of here because, you know, he never would. He never came down and took a hard stand against abortion. So we're better off without him. Or he would sometimes say something good about a member of the political party that I don't agree with. So better off without Tim Keller. People were saying this. Christians are saying this. This is what I mean about the epidemic of judgment among Christians. Where did we ever get the idea that that kind of behavior is okay when Jesus says clearly, do not judge lest you be judged? I mean, this is the stuff that he is talking about. Now notice, Jesus goes on, of course, and he gives an illustration. You know, some people have asked whether Jesus had a sense of humor. I think he did, and I think we see it come out right here in verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How could you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? I mean, just visualize what that even looks like. How, if you have a plank in your eye, how do you even approach your brother to, how do you even see the speck in your brother's eye? Let alone, how do you approach them? And I think Jesus is illustrating this in somewhat of a humorous way to show how absurd it is that we would engage in these forbidden judgments. And so he refers to those who do that as hypocrites and calls them to remove the plank. So how then are we to judge? Because as we've already pointed out, Jesus is telling us not to judge certain ways. So what's the positive side of it? We are to judge righteously. If we're judging, we better make sure that our judgment is based on reality, not on our perception. We are to judge righteously, truthfully, and mercifully. Because like Jesus said here, he said, and this would be so good if we all just simply remember this, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So you might say, well, you know, I've got a high standard, and I'm judging according to that standard. Fine. Remember this. You will be judged by that standard yourself. And isn't it true, we've all had moments and experiences, I would imagine, I know I have, where you're judging someone and then you realize, like, you know, I kind of do the same thing. Just maybe it's a little bit of a different scenario, but I kind of do the same thing. And, you know, Paul asks this question in Romans chapter 2. He says, you who judge another, you're actually condemning yourself because you do the same things. You just do them in a different fashion.
For the month of June, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher by Peter J. Williams. Although the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, the authorship is often challenged. Debates surrounding whether the words of Jesus were truly spoken by him or if they were actually the creation of the gospel writers. Well, in his book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus, Peter J. Williams presents several arguments to prove the authenticity of the words of Jesus. As a test case, Peter J. Williams takes an in-depth look at the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. He traces the cleverness and wisdom of the teaching of Jesus that displays his ability to relate Luke 15 to the broader story of the Bible. The storytelling of Jesus was able to confront the opponents of his time through complex layers and themes. And the powerful storytelling ability of Jesus is also available for discovery today. The book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus, will not only help you better understand the parable of the prodigal son, it will also help you to see Jesus in a way that you may never have seen him before. Find out what the Gospels reveal about the greatest teacher in history. the book The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher by Peter J. Williams, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Sermon on the Mount. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.